Stay there, Jim. Yes, amen. Bless the Lord. Well, this is a good word, and we've got a lot that we can say about it, and a lot of questions we can ask. I want to bring up a little question here from Matthew 12, and maybe Jim can comment, or maybe one of you can. That verse 29. Or how else can one enter into a strong man's house? Okay, the strong man is an unclean spirit, and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Okay, now Jim talked a lot about the strong man, but you know, we have found out from our years of experience that it isn't always just one strong man in there. In other words, he's not the only one in there. There will be a strong one, but there will be others. So bringing deliverance isn't always just getting rid of one unclean spirit. Right. Now, the thing that was described here by Jesus is you're not going to have a whole lot of success until you can get rid of that strong man. Mm-hmm. I wish I could think of the example, but I remember times that we came after a strong man to bring deliverance, and my goodness, all kinds of other spirits rose up against us. And what it came to me is the example of the strong man has got a bunch of dogs that are guarding his house. And you get close to that house, he sees you coming, and all of a sudden these dogs start barking and yapping and snarling. And you've got other things to deal with as well. Okay, that's the one point. Remember, there's probably not just going to be one spirit there. There's going to be others of his cronies.
Amen.
And now, what was the other thing? Oh, the other thing I want to ask about, and maybe I'd like to hear your comments on it, is what does it mean to spoil his house? What else is in his house besides the strong man? What is giving him life that he can continue with his dirty business? Something else has to be cast out with him. Any of you know what the word accoutrements is? Where'd we learn that word? Was that a word that Bert used to use? Might have been. Accoutrements, well, how can I give an example of what is an accoutrement? It's other things, other objects that are necessary to carry on the business. Okay, an alcoholic, he has to get rid of his accoutrements. He has to throw the whiskey out. He has to clean his refrigerator out. And sometimes people that are in cahoots with other sinners that are working with them, get rid of that phone number. Get rid of that email address. Whatever it is that attaches you to that system, break it down, get rid of it. Some secret you keep in your wallet, throw it out. So that's my picture. Drug addicts, I understand. I've never been a real good. I've never been a drug addict at all, but I understand there's things that they use with their drugs.
Paraphernalia.
Paraphernalia. There you go. And if the cop or the trooper or the deputy stops your car and he finds paraphernalia in your car, you can be charged as if you were using the material. So this stuff needs to be gotten rid of. You say, I'll give you an example. I knew a young man that got caught with DWI. He ran into a building, and they threw the book at him. They took his license away, took it away for 6 months. He had to go to some license class and everything else. And I had a little chat with him. And I said, you know, son, you're going to have to swear off every form of addictive substance. Well, no, man, I can keep on with my marijuana. I don't need to give that up. I said, listen, you don't give the marijuana up too, you're going to be back on alcohol again, or vice versa. You know what? 3 years later, he was back again, because he would not give up everything that was associated with that. He did not want to break totally. He wanted to hold on to a little bit of addiction. All right, that's my spiel. Mike is sitting right next to me here on the screen. I'll bet he's got a lot to say about that.
Well, I've actually just got a couple little things to say. First of all, I want to make sure everybody out there knows what the word suffereth means, because it's a little bit of a tricky word.
What's the word?
Suffereth.
Suffereth.
Kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. It's kind of a tricky word, and it's like the sentence, he did not suffer him to do so. It means he didn't allow him to do that thing. So the word suffereth means allow, okay? The word suffereth means allow. Mm-hmm. So the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. It means it allows it, and the violent take it by force. So a lot of people misunderstand that word. So God allows violence. He wants you to get violent against the spirits. So that was one thing. And then also, you know, Jim was talking about how Annie thinks Paul McCartney's going to marry her. You know, when some people are in a deception,
right?
Sometimes something really obvious ought to open their eyes, even if they're not spiritual. And that is, do you think Paul McCartney needs somebody to send him $12,000? That's like a dime in one of our pockets. And so just be looking for something obvious, you know, that'll show you, hey, this is a farce. This isn't right. Anyway, and lastly, I just wanted to thank you, Brother Jim, for being willing to share some personal things with us today.
Mm-hmm. Very, very good comments, Mike. Appreciate it.
I have some scriptures. Wow.
Connie, you got to turn your volume up.
I have some scriptures as to how we can go about Matthew 16:19 and Matthew 18:18 assures us. And I will give unto you, unto thee. This is Matthew
16:19.
Right. I will give to thee keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And the other, in Matthew 18, 18 says the same thing. And then 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. And that says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We have to do all of that. And there was a song that also came to me. Now is the time to take the kingdom. Rise up, ye strong. And we are only strong in the Lord. We have no might and power to wrestle the devil. But through God, through him, we do. He gives us that. He gave us keys that we can do these things. And it is very necessary. It seems like God puts one in a household that can pray for the entire household. And so praise God. And we have to believe that God's word is true and that these things are true, that we have what God gives us to go into battle and to war.
Amen. Thank you for that, Connie. Those are very good scriptures. Amen. There's another verse, and I think that everybody knows it, but we'll turn there just to make sure. It's in Romans chapter 6. And verse 16, Romans 6 and 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So in other words, whatever spirit, now remember, there are only two spirits, there are only two kingdoms. Is spirits, multiple spirits, like Mark says, but it's one spirit behind it. Spirit of darkness against the spirit of light. Whatever spirit anyone opens up to, that spirit has a right. Now, Joanne told us a story, and this was on CBN News, so it's a good, reliable source. This female actress has been in, I think, almost every Harry Potter film, and then almost all of the films she has been in is about sorcery and witchcraft. She has become a full-fledged witch. And she believes in the power of the witchcraft. And she makes no bones about it. Yeah, I'm a witch and I believe it. You become the servant of the spirit that you open up to. But there's a but, brethren. We came to set the captives free.
Now that word servant is actually slave.
Yes, because that's the doulos, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's exactly right. In Satan's kingdom, you're a doulos. You're a slave, a lowly slave. In God's kingdom, you're what? God wants sons.
I have got a question. I understand that the spirit goes back to God when we die.
Yes.
And the soul goes either to heaven or hell. And I don't believe another person's soul is in me.
No, no.
Or ever can get in me. So, and you mentioned that when a person dies and goes to hell, that they can come back into you. But if God has already taken their spirit, how can that be?
I'm going to let Mark answer that.
Hell, at this point in time, every spirit is not in the flame of fire in the abyss. Okay, when Jesus met the man over in Gadarenes, he had a legion of spirits. Now, we can say they were in hell, but they were also in him. And these spirits, when they saw Jesus and they recognized him and they knew what he was going to do and what he had the power to do, they said, oh, please, don't let us go to our what was the term they used? Our abyss, I'll say, before the time. In other words, they knew there was coming a time of great white throne judgment when hell and death were going to be cast into the lake of fire. They said, don't do that before our time. And so Jesus said, okay, go to the pigs. So they went to the pigs, but they didn't stay in the pigs very long, did they? They don't want to dwell in pigs. They want to dwell in human beings. And they can express themselves very well in other human beings. You know, Howard, that little book, what was his name, the doctor?
Return from Tomorrow.
Return from Tomorrow. Yeah. That is an excellent book. I believe the man was right on.
Absolutely.
When Jesus himself took him into these bars and showed him these spirits. And, you know, not every one of these spirits was in another human being. Some of these alcoholic spirits were sitting next to the guy sitting at the bar and trying to get his hands on that glass of booze that he was drinking, and his fingers were going right through it. Then there was another young soldier in that bar. He drank so much that he passed out. As soon as he passed out, something unzipped that was a covering, a guard of his own soul, opened up, and another demon jumped right into that thing. An alcoholic demon jumped right into this other man's soul, and now he's going to have a spirit of alcohol to help him along.
But my understanding still is there are demons, and there are demons like that, but they're angels cast out of heaven, not humans that die, because the soul is not there. The spirit has already returned to God, so they can't come back in you.
There's two kinds, Howard. There's the fallen angels, and there's the disembodied spirits that once were human beings. Now,
Where does it talk about the disembodied spirits that were human?
Was in 2 Corinthians 5.
2 Corinthians 5. Jim read it this morning. Demons themselves are ex-human beings, somebody's grandfather, whatever.
Departed souls.
Fallen angels are a different class. They are called, properly should be called devils.
Yeah.
Demons are disembodied human spirits.
really souls. They call spirits, but they're really a disembodied soul.
Well, a soul is a spirit. Yeah.
So now another way to look at it, when a sinner dies and goes to hell without Christ, he becomes a demon. When a saint dies and goes to heaven, he becomes like unto the angels. They're ministering spirits. Now, let's just suppose that Brother DeCille, who's in the heavenlies, comes as an angel, a ministering spirit, to our meeting to encourage us. Does he come in to me?
No.
But he's a ministering spirit, an angel, like an angel, who comes to minister life to us. So that's the same way a demon. I don't know that we would say he inhabits your soul, but he has such an influence over your soul that you can't help but take that alcohol, take that drug or whatever, because it's a fallen spirit ministering to your soul, just like an angel comes to minister.
There's different degrees of, what shall we use the term, possession?
Mm-hmm.
Possession is the ultimate total, I mean, they have total control. I mean, Judas opened totally to yep. Satan. Okay. Satan possessed his soul. Well, he had him commit suicide so that Satan could get back out again. But there's spirits that bring a lot of influence. Obsession, for instance. Go back and study the life of King Saul. There's a perfect example of a man going into steps.
Down.
His final step before possession was obsession. He was totally obsessed with how he was going to kill David. And by the time he came to his end, the prophet Samuel revealed to him that he was totally possessed and that he was going to die tomorrow. And of course, Saul didn't do anything about it, so we assume that he went right to hell with the spirit that had him.
Now let's bring this full circle. Okay. Jesus came to set the captives free, of which I am number one. First, I want to be free. I don't want to be influenced by the ancestral familiar spirits of my ancestry. Then, second of all, I want to set my house free. Amen? That's the focus of the word, the message today. Jesus came to set the captives free so that the captives can set the captives free. We want to set our house free. Amen. And it's spiritual, brethren. We've got to go after the spirits. Like Connie said, bind the spirits and loose the souls. So that's the message.
I just want to comment just a little bit about Howard's question also. Howard, you made the statement that another person's soul can't come into you. You know, there's an argument in the Christian world that a Christian can't have a demon in him. But does it make any difference if someone's got a gun against your ribs or he's got you in his crosshairs from 100 yards away? So when a unregenerate person dies, they become a disembodied spirit, a spirit being. And whatever we allow into us, we can allow the spirit of God into us, or we can allow the spirit of a demon into us. And so we've got to shut the door to those things. And I had another thought when we were talking about the book Return from Tomorrow. As the guy was watching, I don't know if you all know the story, but this guy was a military guy and he died for, 12 hours or whatever it was. And God took him around and was showing him all these things. And when he was in the bar watching these guys drink, and Mark made the comment, these spirits were trying to get their hands on this alcohol, you know, but that can't happen that way. Anyway, the comment I wanted to make was, he said that as these guys were sitting at the bar drinking, they had a glow of light kind of around their head. And as they sat there drinking, that light got dimmer, 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 dimmer until the spirits could finally enter this guy. And so the point I want to make is, as we're taking part in doing something wrong, God's covering, God's protection is getting dimmer in our lives. It's getting weaker, and it's allowing these unclean spirits to be able to come in and start influencing our lives. Okay, God bless.
Well, you know, we American brethren, we didn't grow up with much teaching about spirits. And I understand you brethren in Nigeria, you know what we're talking about. You know what spirits really are. And, you know, I went to Nigeria and I didn't know, it was some little newspaper I got a hold of. And I was surprised what they were writing. Some owl spirit became a man, or I don't know what it was, but I thought, man, these people here, they spiritual warfare is a real reality. Mm-hmm. Can anybody from Nigeria say amen to that?
Go ahead, Opie. It's true. Amen.
Oh, no, that's not Opie. I'm sorry.
Urias.
Brethren, hello.
Yes, hello.
I agree that's true. That's a reality. You can hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, brother.
Yes. Go ahead.
It's a reality. These things are real, spiritual realities. Then I want to make a little remark about verse 29 of Matthew 12. The aspect of spoiling the house of the strong man. Bind the strong man, and then we'll be able to spoil his house. I agree totally with what Bromark has said about it, but I believe that we also need to look at another aspect that aligns it properly with what Bro Jim has said. So it would be good we read verse 22 also, of the same chapter. He says, then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil. Possessed. If you allow me, I will say one that the devil has taken ownership of.
12:22.
Yes. So they brought to Jesus one that a devil, a demon spirit, has taken ownership of. He has possessed him because maybe the man yielded himself to be his servant. And so he had taken possession of him. So he has become his goods, part of his goods in his house. Things he owned, his servant, his possession. So it requires a strong man to come and bind the strong spirit to be able to spoil the goods. Now, the word spoil means to take booty, to take a spoil. In warfare, when you overcome an enemy, you have the power and right to take his goods as spoil of war, booty. So this man will first of all bind the strong man, and then he will be able to take away his possession. In this particular case, taking it from verse 22, it is that man that the devil has possessed. So bring it to us and to our family members. God is reminding us that we have power with him, authority, to go in and bind any evil spirit, any strong man of darkness that is taking possession of any of ours. When we do that, then we are able to dispossess the devil, that spirit, dispossess that evil spirit of that beloved one of ours that he has made his goods or made part of his house. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, so the verse you read there, brother, is that he was possessed of a devil. Now, sometimes when you're reading it, it says that he had a spirit, but it doesn't use the term possess. So it implies, again, that there's different degrees of possession. Possession is ownership. He really had him. But the other, to just have a spirit, it has a strong influence on you, but it isn't really possessing you yet. You're not really totally its slave yet, but you're under a lot of influence. And that's the influence we need to kick out. Howard, you started to say something.
Yeah, I wanted to kind of say that I had something in me for a long, long, long time. I don't know. I think it got into me from my dad when I was very young. And whether it possessed me or had control of me or whatever, I could not get rid of it. And not up until the time that I prayed and cast it into the abyss did that finally leave me. And I had to do it a couple times, but it did leave me. And the relief I had.
Praise God.
It was, so I believe very strongly that we have demons in us, but we can get rid of them. By the blood of God, by the blood of Christ, we can get rid of them.
Amen.
And that's the only way.
And that's right, Howard. When we challenge and cast out and cast down a spirit, we want them to go to the abyss, that they trouble no one again, no more, forever. And, you know, a real good example of one kingdom disposing another one was Esther and Mordecai. Now, make no bones about it. Haman wanted to kill every Jew and destroy them. And now Esther comes along and works with Mordecai, and the exact opposite happens. Haman is hung on his own gallows, and where did Mordecai live after that? Mordecai took Haman's house and dispossessed him. So it's a very good example of, there were spirits. Spirits working with Haman that had power, influence to destroy and kill every Jew, but it didn't happen because God gave the authority to Esther and to Mordecai, and they dispossessed that devil and cast him down in Jesus' name.
I wanted to comment real quick on what Brother Urias had to say. I'm not sure I see two guys with the name Urias. I don't know if that's their last name, but it was the one that has the symbol I there, the purple square with the I. He was the one talking. I can't pronounce that first name, but what I got from what he had to say was about the term spoil his house. You know, if we can take down the strong man, we can spoil his house.
Yes.
And what came to me as he was talking was, like in Jim's instance, if we can take down that strong man that's in Annie's life,
yes,
we can spoil all the other ones that that spirit's got control over. That's talking about spoiling his house. We're going to take back everything he had influence in, all the people whose lives that he was taking part in, like your own children and whatnot. So that's what spoiling his house means.
Amen.
Amen.
I also think it means by spoiling his house, when you're taking down that strong man, you are still going to be tempted. There's still temptation that comes your way with those things. But it's not nearly as strong as what that strong man brings. So you're spoiling his house because you're not being tempted the way it was before. They can still tempt, but it's, if you've already bound the strong man, you can deal far better with those temptations.
Well, you fill that house now with the Word of God and the Spirit of God.
Yes.
You don't leave it empty. If you leave it empty, he comes back and he brings seven of his buddies with him.
More worse than the first.
Yeah. Brother Mark?
Yeah, go ahead.
1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians 4 in verse 20 says, for the kingdom of God is not in words, but in power. And we kept talking about these things. The emphasis for those of us that are born again and are called into this battle, it is not our physical energy, but the power of God residing in our innermost being, in our spirits, such that anyone that is not born of God cannot be possessed by the Spirit of Christ that energizes us. Says we are not to be afraid of these spirits. So we can pray this evening in Nigeria and out there this morning that the spirit of fear and timidity should not be in any of us. When we talk about these things, some of us are scared. But the truth is that the kingdom of God is not in the West, but it's in the power of God to make us bold to face the spirits. That's the contribution.
Yeah, the kingdom is not just a bunch of words, doctrine, religion. Right. It's dunamis. Amen. It's exousia.
Amen.
It's the real working stuff. And you know, demons know whether you got the power or not.
That's right.
All they had to do is see Jesus coming. They trembled. They knew what Amen. Was going to happen. Amen. And they know if you got it or not. You know, Howard.
I'd like to.
Go ahead.
I'd like to make one other comment with that. With demons that are in you, if you do not bind that strong man, I think you can still be a Christian, but it's going to be an outer court Christian. You're not right. going to be able to be a son of God.
Right.
Yeah, Howard.
You need to bind that strong man from my experience.
Howard, Amen. Can I make another proclamation for you?
Yes,
you can. I believe that God is going to show you and give you the power to bring deliverance to that son of yours.
Amen.
That is an unclean spirit, and I don't know how it got there. I'm not sure how to deal with it, but I believe that Jesus Christ has power.
Amen.
You know what I mean, Howard?
Amen.
It could have gotten there through me. But before the demon was out of me, I mean, any, you know, that was in me, so it could have, you know, transferred. But yeah, God can save him.
Yeah. Amen.
There's just something that I just like to say, that in the church world, not the, probably would consider it the outer court, that there is a belief that once saved, always saved, that we're not vulnerable to any kind of thing from the devil. But it says, but Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body and bring into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, that I myself should be a castaway. So we have to be vigilant, violent, if you want to say, in our own souls first and foremost, and then it goes out from there. But we're not immune to it.
Right.
It's what the other scripture you said about whomsoever we yield ourselves to, that and we become the slave of.
Yeah.
So Paul also counted himself a slave to Jesus Christ. So that's what we want. But we're not, the Christian quote is not immune. We're not once saved, always saved, because there is nothing of evil in any form that is ever going to enter the kingdom of heaven, ever. So whatever it is has to be removed first.
Amen. You can't bring it into the kingdom.
Before we go any further, I'd like us to pray before everybody signs off. And I don't know if you want to do it with the recording on or off. It doesn't matter.
Oh, well, if it's
okay.
Apropos, we'll leave the recording.
I want us to pray. And the way that Joanne and I pray, when we go to prayer for our families, we renounce the ancestral spirits and we name them. My father's surname was Castle. My mother's maiden name was Bowers. So I bind and reject the spirits of the Castles and the Bowers. And on Joanne's side, her family names were Watkins and Browns. And so when we pray, and then we begin to command those spirits off of our children, and we name each one of our children and our grandchildren. So we're going to pray right now, and we are going to renounce in Jesus' name the ancestral spirits from the Castles and the Bowers and the Watkins and the Browns and any ancestral devil that has influenced my life or my home or my family. I say, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you, and I bind your influence and I cast it down and out and into the abyss, like Howard said. We want those spirits into the abyss, that they will not trouble my sons and my daughter and my grandchildren and my families, my brother and my living sister and all of my nieces and nephews and cousins. Lord God, we want to do warfare. We want to set the captive ones free. So, Lord God, help us to do battle in your name, to go after the strong man of our house and to uproot his kingdom and to set the captives free in our house, in Jesus' name. I'm going to turn the recording off.